Come to Me. Commentary for the July 31st, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. Jeremiah 17:14. Someone once quipped that you know you have reached old age when you can hurt yourself just getting a night's sleep. We get out of bed in the morning and walk across the room, and the snap, crackle, and pop we thought was only a feature of a childhood breakfast cereal speaks to us from every joint as we try to get mobile to begin our day. How did things ever get this way? When we were young and filled with excess energy, life seemed so full of promise, and decades lay ahead of us to fulfill every dream. But as the years passed and toil and anxieties took their toll, we began to feel the weight of the years. First, we only seemed to tire more easily and were less limber than the child who once somersaulted on the lawn. We told ourselves if we could get more sleep, take better care of our health, and exercise, we would regain what was lost. But while it slowed somewhat, the inexorable decline marched on. Notwithstanding more exercise, we reached a point where our joints simply no longer support what we want to do. While working in the garden and noticing the shriveled summer blossoms, we begin to understand the way of all life, and now we know the brevity of the glory of youth and of life itself. Like the writer of Ecclesiastes, we discover that all is vanity. So much of what we have spent the strength of our youth on has been for naught but to make us older, worn out from struggling to reach we know not what. Has life always been this way? The Bible tells us no. Mankind was placed in an Edenic paradise, invigorated by God's own breath and charged with the care of the created earth and its creatures. As we shared in earlier lessons this quarter, God also gave mankind the Sabbath as a gift of rest and grace. Death was unknown, and consequently the ravages of aging also. We do not know how long this idyllic life lasted, but eventually it came to an end through an act of betrayed trust. Mankind tasted the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Their bodies began to decay. As it says literally in the Hebrew, dying you will begin to die. Their work would now be unpleasant, tainted by the loss of vitality that would beset them. As a point of emphasis, the writer of Genesis informs us that each generation experienced shorter and shorter lifespans, with few exceptions. Even if we admit a perfect original environment and a lack of mitigations otherwise, modern science bears this out, as lifespans have increased somewhat as medical interventions, better diets, and adequate shelter have become more common, implying that we are capable of living longer than we do. We have seen confirmation of this in reverse as well. The ongoing COVID pandemic has ravaged the world population to the extent, with over 600,000 deaths in the United States alone, the lifespans in America have significantly decreased. Some have advocated that if we were to eat the diet of Eden, which did not include meat, we would live the lifespans of Eden. It would be nice if it were so simple. However, the foods of Eden are no longer present, and neither is that environment to grow them. While mankind has made significant progress in increasing crop yields and in understanding the principles of sustainability, it has been done at a high price. Billions of tons of chemicals in the form of pesticides, fertilizers, and selective defoliants are poured into the ground. so much so that God would have to create a new untarnished bit of earth if he were to repeat the creation of man today. Those polluting chemicals are washed from our farmlands into the lakes, rivers, and oceans of the world, tainting the entire food web from top to bottom. Mankind, as an apex omnivore, eats through every layer of the food web, accumulating those chemicals in the body as he goes. Therefore, despite advances in medicine and lifestyle changes, any attempt to achieve the lifespans of the early Genesis account would be subverted long before that would even be possible. In just one example, the PFAS family of chemicals, used as a flame retardant and as a stain preventer in products like ScotchGard, have become so widespread in the environment that almost everyone seems to have high levels of the chemicals in their bodies. The half-lives of these chemicals, linked to cancer and other major health issues, are so long that the likelihood of flushing them from the body during one's lifetime is remote. And even if there were a process to do that, it is so pervasive everywhere in the environment, it would be pointless. This is only one example. Over 20 years ago, I had the opportunity to view well reports on contaminants for wells all over eastern Washington. Most wells had as many as 24 different chemical and mineral pollutants. The wells were considered safe because each individual pollutant was present in amounts less than the legal limit. However, to my knowledge, no one has ever done a study of the cumulative effects of dozens of low-level pollutants all within the legal limit. We understand so little about our environment. In some ways, we are not unlike a child taking its bath to get clean, but using the same bath water every time instead of changing it. When I was a child, I watched science fiction movies and read comic books and novels that predicted we were moving toward a futuristic utopia based on science. I was excited for the possibilities. Instead, humanity seems to be limping into the future. Many of the people I know are struggling with autoimmune disorders that their doctors cannot pinpoint the cause of. Others struggle with genetic defects of various body systems. Many of these manifest later in life, so they are not naturally selected out of the population before childbirth passes on the damaged genes, condemning another generation to the possibility of suffering. With all of this, there is little wonder why healthcare is one of the leading industries in the United States. Whether we want to accept the idea of mankind's fall in Genesis, it is difficult to defend the idea of a utopian future based on science when we seem to be facing an ever-growing threat of disease, natural disasters exacerbated by climate change, warfare arising from too many people chasing too few resources, and tribalistic violence based on domination or elimination of the other, whether that other be race, gender, political perspective, etc. Nonetheless, some find solace in the words spoken 2 millennia ago by Jesus, "Come unto me and find rest." Ironically, when faith is needed most, many denominations are seeing a major exodus from their organizations. But perhaps this is as it should be. Institutional religion has promised to be the salvation of all for centuries. But it was the religious institution of Christ's day that hung him to die upon the cross. His message of love and service was repugnant to the power-hungry religious leaders of his time. Nothing has changed in that regard. Institutional religion continues to be about politics and power plays. Rife with nepotism and corruption, the churches of today differ little from their Pharisaical predecessors. Though they spend millions and comb the earth for new converts, the rising or falling of the birth rate among the parishioners is more telling about many denominations' potential for growth or simply fading into irrelevance. While the world situation and the corruption within organized religion seems to be dire, Hope remains. We need only turn to the Bible to find it. Failed by their rulers and failed by their religious leaders, the people were desperate, and when Jesus reached out to them, they came in droves. They did not come to the synagogue for hope. They came to Jesus. Even Jesus' disciples did not come to the synagogue to find him. The leaders of the synagogues were not pointing the way. They found Jesus for themselves. Some sought Jesus because John the Baptist said he was the Messiah. Others became because of miracles they heard he performed. Others came simply because he sought them out. But no one is reputed to have come because he was attending synagogue and the rabbi sent him to follow Jesus. On the contrary, the religious leaders spoke so much against him, it caused some to turn away. When Jesus asked his disciples if they would leave him also, Peter replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." He understood the simple truth that no one else had the answers each of us needs. Despite all the science fiction movies and stories, science, helpful though it has been, cannot save us. Government and politicians cannot save us. The church cannot save us. Even the wealthy, despite their riches, cannot save us. They cannot even save themselves. Only Jesus can save us. That is why he came. We are told, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him," John 3:17. So many centuries later, his invitation to come still calls us. Will you be among those who respond? "Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever, through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above," by Fanny Crosby. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find more commentaries like this with their podcasts at our website at Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.